Herzlich willkommen zu Mein Element, dem Podcast vom Lützebäuer Journal und zusammen erbe ich beim FNR, dem Luxembourg National Research Fund.
I had the opportunity to become professional, but yeah, then I made my mind, I said, no, I would rather work on research rather than playing the bass all the time. When you feel that you are the only one or probably one of the very few people in the world who are seeing or discovering something, this feeling of being a pioneer is super, super exciting. I think everything is related to beauty to some extent. So be it a nice painting or art or just physics or math.
Mein Name ist Max und heute schwätze mir mit Emmanuel Defay. Und den ist nicht ganz einfach zu beschreiben, weil er ist Physiker, Musiker, Pop, Fußballfan, die merkt viel Sache gleichzeitig. Und dafür fällt es ihm auch nicht ganz so einfach, als typisch Icebreaker-Froh, wie erklärst du fremde Leute deinen Beruf zu beantworten? Mir hört selber.
Well, this is an excellent question and I have to admit that I have to most of the time struggle to be able to explain something which is not very easy to explain. Perhaps not too complicated to explain, but and I think this is probably one of the issues of a scientist that you want to be accurate. So you take time. And people are not extremely patient when you start, you know, explaining what you want to do. So that's why I most of the time try to skip this moment, not to explain it, so in order not to bother people with what we do. Anyway, so then see that I'm doing exactly what I don't want to do. But if I try to answer your question, so I'm, we could say, a researcher. So this is my daily life. So I'm trying to find new things. So I would define a researcher as someone who tries to find things that were not already discovered. So it's not always the apple of Newton that we were just discussing before, or you know, finding the Higgs boson or things that are, you know, groundbreaking and really in the unknown of physics. But it can be something very technical, but it can be also discovering a new material or a new property of a material. And one specific thing we do in LIST is that we really, not only in LIST, but specifically in LIST, we try to think of applications that would be related to the discovery we made. So meaning that, for instance, you take an example of a new material, you find a new material or a new property of a material, and then before getting the news public, we try to secure some what we call IP, intellectual property, so filing a patent to be sure that if in future we have a potential application and a good idea or a good partnership, so we can use this intellectual property to help our partners to make business. This is really what we try to do. So we secure this IP first, this intellectual property, and afterwards we try to publish our results in the in conferences or in journals to also create knowledge and let our colleagues know about it.
Du mal wirst mal, was denn Emmanuel möchte. Mehr spannend war auch sehr, wie bist du hin? Seine Studien hat er nämlich am Süden und am Osten von Frankreich gemacht. Dann ist er dann aber nicht direkt rüber in die Forschung gegangen. Also ich stelle mal den Zivildienst im Programm. Demnach gibt es in Frankreich nämlich noch eine Pflicht, und du musst wählen, ob er in an die Armee geht oder etwas Soziales möchte. Und Emmanuel hat sich für die zweite Idee, und wo durchgehen wissen, was ihn dann aus der Zeit mitgeholt hat.
I mean, first, the first thing I learned was that there are, I mean, normal people is something, I mean, it's something you have to realize. So the meaning of normal people, what does it mean? Because when you start doing this, these preparatory schools where people are sorted, so only people who are good at maths go there, really good at maths. Only the top two in classes can afford going there. So meaning it's only weird people. So you know, we have only Sheldons in this class. So that's already special. Then you go in this engineering school. So it's basically the same, because to enter into these engineering schools, so you have to be before in those classes. So we are all alike, and all widows to some extent. I mean widows. But still, there's really, I mean, it's not normal people in the sense that we already all sorted. So we are all looking the same. So then when I got back, so I did this youth house was in my hometown, very close to my hometown. And then so I got back to a place which is much more rural than what I used to be, much more countryside. And then I had to give a hand to move tables, to prepare rooms for the activities of the kids or elderly people. So I was loading the furnace for pottery. I was preparing the tables for Ikebana activities, which is a floral art in Japan. So you know, completely different. I was also looking after the bike school with the kids on a Wednesday afternoon. So I really enjoyed this moment, but I really also realized that. I mean, when you are in these schools, or if you stay in this only in this environment, so you have probably a very wrong impression of what is reality, what people are, because then you lose very rapidly the common sense of what people are. So that's really, so this is really the main thing I understood. Obviously, I took this opportunity also to play a lot of music. So I had a lot of bands at the time. So I really also enjoyed this time, and it gave me. It was 2 years, because when you didn't want to go for the civil service at the time in France, so you had to make a choice. But I mean, the price to pay was you were doubling the time, so it was nearly 2 years, and gave me the opportunity to think really on what I wanted to do, and gave me a very strong motivation to then do research and resume somehow what I had in mind for a long time. So there was a period when I was playing so much that playing the bass, so I'm bass player. I was playing so much that I had the opportunity to become professional. But yeah, so then I made my mind. I said, no, I would rather work on research rather than, playing the bass all the time. So yeah, so it was really very strong motivation also to move on and to carry on research.
You had to choose between two of your passions. So how did it come to make the choice for one passion and not for the other?
I think I made it. I mean, one part of the answer is that it was also the excitement of the unknown, because I think I hadn't investigated a lot on this part, on the research part. So meaning I really wanted to see more, and I was feeling this kind of passion that I haven't tried yet at a level that would tell me, okay, I want to do it or not. And on the other side, so on the baseline, if I put it this way, on the music line, I was a decent bass player, but to bring it to a level where I would I would have had to go to Paris or to try something big, and I'm not sure I was ready for this. I'm not sure I was gifted enough or good enough to also to do it. So that's why then I preferred probably the unknown rather than something where it could have been much more disappointing for me. But I don't know. Here it's what I would recall. I'm not sure that at the time, so I would have accepted the idea that I was not the best player in the world, but I was not, that's for sure. But yes, I think the real answer would be the excitement of the unknown, trying really to, I mean, this kind of thing that I still feel today. So when you do something, and even if it is, most people would say, ah, that's a detail or that's very tiny, but when you feel that you are the only one or probably one of the very few people in the world who are seeing or discovering something, this feeling of being a pioneer is super, super exciting. And I was already, at the time I made my mind, so I was already anticipating this kind of excitement that you could have. And I definitely confirm that when you have this, so it's, I don't know, you feel like you made something that nobody else made before you, and that makes you, you feel special.
Für Milo Riverbottom Emanuel sein eigentlichen Job Physik kommen, wollte ich aber denke ganz kurz mal Themen bei der Musik bleiben. Hin und also richtig gut Bass gespielt. So gut, dass du eine Karriere als professioneller Musiker aufgekommen hast. wie fühlt es sich dann für ihn an, mit so einem Talent gesehen zu sein und dann einfach immer um am Klischee konfrontiert zu gehen, dass Bassgitarristen eigentlich die uncool aus der Band sind?
Well, I played also football, but I was not the goalkeeper. So that's that's the first time, so I would say. And then, why did I choose the bass? So it was when I was in lycée, so where we decided to go for a band, and I was playing trumpet. So I'm initially, so I studied trumpet when I was a kid, and when you play trumpet, so there's the I mean, you can work in different setups, and the one I preferred was quintet. I don't know in English. So when you have five players, so we have two trumpets, one I'm not sure I have all the words in English, but trombone, and one horn, mm-hmm. and then one kind of tuba. Mm-hmm. And once, just by chance, or because I wanted to try, so we had a piece of music that was written in clitzol. So, well, I mean, people will understand. And because when you play tuba, normally this is in clitfa. So, and then I tried the this little tuba which is called a euphonium. And I really enjoyed it. So it was the first time I could play it, because it was exactly the same way you play trumpet. And in the right key. So, and having this position of playing the bass that you are, you know, below the other ones, and somehow you are controlling also the tone or the overall mood of the thing. So you are playing the bass. So meaning if you play a C, so it's going to sound joyful. If you play an A, was exactly the other ones would play the same, so it will sound minor tone, and then you change the mood. And I really liked it. And when it was time, so it was a few days before we decided to who was going to play which instrument in our rock band with my friends at the time, who were actually the same as the ones that were playing in this quintet. Then I decided to go for bass. So it was really a choice that I really wanted to make. Well, obviously, I had no competition, because nobody wanted to play the bass. So then it was a win-win situation.
What was the music that you grew up to?
I was a big fan of Red Hot Chili Peppers. So we had a band that was probably a bit in this spirit, and where the bass player has a very strong role. but yeah, we were also... and mostly playing our own compositions at the time. So, it was a bit, only three people in the band, and where we could jump also everywhere. So no, it was rather energetic.
And so you wrote your own songs, in fact, and
yes.
Your own melodies.
Yep.
In English or in French?
No, in French. Yes, in French.
And do you still do that, or did you have to... quit the band?
Yeah, I had to quit the band because it was my
solo
friends
career.
From from the you know where I mean from my hometown. So when I was in Grenoble, it was already complicated to carry on with the band, but still, so I could do it. But now in Luxembourg, it's just impossible. So I had to quit, and I have to admit that since I arrived here, so I have had a hard time in. Finding the time, I mean, it's a bit silly to say so, because we all have 24 hours a day, but finding the energy also to resume something. So I'm playing with my daughters now, but...
So they play instruments too?
They play instruments, and we enjoy it only in the house, so there's no... They are performing, but I'm not, and I'm very happy for the moment like that, so that's good. But one day... I will resume
band.
That. I'll be back.
You spoke of your daughters. What is one thing that you want them to learn from you?
Music. But it's done already. So I'm very happy with this. So I tried two things. So I tried my two passions. So one went through, and that's very good.
It's also the cooler one, in fact.
Yes, certainly. This is what they tell me as well.
Kommen wir mal in ein kleines Gedankenexperiment. Und zwar gehen wir los zusammen shoppen. Und nicht irgendwo hin. Nee, wir gehen an den Elektrobotik aus der Zukunft erkaufen. Und du siehst mal eine spezielle Sache, nämlich ein Frigo. Wir gehen also durch den Rayon, gucke längs a Rätsel und bemol steht du. Der perfekten Frigo aus der Zukunft. Me, was soll den Frigo du alles können? Wie gesagt, den aus, hat ein extra Farb, extra viel Platz, vielleicht viel, viel weniger Platz. Gibt es Features wie zum Beispiel AirDrop, Spotify, vielleicht ob Netflix in integrierte Kochkur. Der Frigo aus der Zukunft beschäftigt den Emanuel als seine Equipe. Und dazu gehört am Real Life. Sie sind nämlich schon ein langer Zeitchen umgang, darum noch zu forschen. Und dafür gehen ich Frollo direkt weiter und hin. Wie gesagt, der Frigo aus der Zukunft aus.
Excellent question. So this is really one of the topics, one of my favorite topics at the moment in research. Why? Because it's very strongly related to the strong issues we are facing now with the environment. The fridges is part of the, only a small part of the problem, but it will become a much stronger problem in future. Why? Because I mean, it's not only fridges; it's also air conditioning. So, with the global warming effect, we know that I mean, all countries, even Luxembourg, is getting warmer, much warmer, too warm. There are more and more days now in summer where we feel really the heat. And then what we discovered, same materials. We were discussing here the kind of stick we put on a ukulele to play music. This structure, the material we use belongs to a family which is extremely versatile in terms of effect they can display, and especially they are very good at translating or converting one sort of energy into another sort of energy. And then here, when it was about piezoelectric material, so it can translate mechanical energy into electrical energy. But what can be done also with another material from the same family is that you can put some electricity into this material and transform it into heat or into cold heat, so negative heat. And that's what we are studying. And we are working with a company in Japan, Murata, who produces the best materials of this family that are able then to display this cold activity or cold heat. And we discovered that they are extremely good and that we can make small fridge prototypes that are also of interest. And especially for one very important feature of all fridges, this is what we call efficiency. Efficiency is how much energy do you need to get access to this cold? So you want your food to be cold, or you want your house to be colder than the ambient, but you want it also to be efficient. Because if you want to cool down your house, but you are producing more, or you need more energy to run it, and then you are destroying the environment even more. So it's not good. What we discovered is that this principle still needs a lot of work, a lot of engineering, but this principle could be extremely efficient and probably more efficient than the fridges and the air conditioning systems that we have today. And that's why it's so exciting, because not only I was talking about the excitement of finding new things and you are the first to find it, but here on the top of the rest, it could have a very strong impact on our future potentially, and then it gives even more motivation to carry on and to find something. So the probability to find something that is really groundbreaking is small. Obviously, we are doing research, so meaning that you take lots of risks in your research. But if we can confirm that what we already observed can be upscaled and then deployed, on a very large scale, then yes, could be really a tremendous impact.
Okay. Speaking of fridges, if you were now opening the fridge at your place, what is that one thing that you always buy or has to be in the fridge? So everyone has something that has always to be in their fridge when they're home. Do you have also something that has to be in it?
Ah, I don't know. I have milk. I don't know. It doesn't sound like very much like saving the environment. But I have milk in my fridge.
Always. So every time you go there, there's always fresh milk.
Yeah, because I have breakfast with milk.
Okay.
I have to change it, but at some point. But yeah. But,
so a big cornflakes guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, have to try to make it more and more sustainable. I'm not sure milk is the best product for sustainability, but yeah, I have to admit this.
Okay.
You got me on this.
Ein weiteres Thema vom Emanuel aus Nanotechnologie. Am spätestens Stoffrund schwimmen.
Hä?
Der Begriff Nano, den kenne ich ja meistens aus Science-Fiction-Filmen oder aus den Avengers. Aber ich glaube nicht, dass den Emanuel nur in einem Ant-Man-Kostüm schafft. Dafür klären wir mal ab, wie klein ist das eigentlich Nano?
Ja, very good question. And I know Nanotechnology. Now it's probably not as bad as it used to be, but some years ago, 15-ish years ago, so it was a term that was strongly discussed. Why? Because it can be extremely small, and potentially this is, if it is a particle, so it means that something you can breathe, and we don't really know all the impacts it has. And now it's much, much better controlled, much better known. Here in my unit of research, which is called the nanotechnology unit, so we are working on things that are attached to a substrate, so to something. So it's not the nanoparticles that could, you know, fly away. But we refer to this nanotechnology, and we mention it because it's it makes the technology most of the time challenging, because it's very, very, very small. So how small it is. Probably the best way to see it, I mean, there are other ways, but something we normally use is that we take, for instance, a hair, and the diameter of a hair is basically 50 micron.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then if you divide it by, say, 100, in the diameter and not in the length, in the diameter, you enter into the nano world, to put it this way. Nano world means that it's less than 1 micron in thickness, and 1 micron is 1,000 times less than 1 millimeter. So, I mean, there are a lot of numbers, but meaning that it's extremely small, you can't see it.
So it's very, very small. How can you work on this besides besides needing good eyes?
Yeah.
How do you work on something so small because you can't even touch it or see it?
You can touch it, but because most of the time in the unit, not only, but most of the time, it's only one of the dimensions which is like that. So we have 3 dimensions. And here it's most of the time, this is the thickness of the layer. So we deposit layers. We deposit layers, and those layers are, have a certain thickness. I give the example. So both of us have glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And on the glasses, so we have an anti-refractive coating. This anti-refractive coating so prevents me to see myself in your glasses and vice versa. And how do we provide this anti-refractive coating? I mean, we are not doing it, but we could do it. At least we have the tools to do it. We are depositing layers that are transparent with very specific optical properties. And we have to work on a very specific range of thicknesses. And these thicknesses is in this nanometer range. So hundreds of nanometer typically, but can be less than that. And that's why we also call it nano technologies, in the sense that we have to control the thickness of our layers in the range of the nanometer. So that's one of the controls we have to provide. And yeah, so meaning that in this case, to answer your question, so we do it by the different deposition means that we have. That can be mechanical, what we call a physical. It can be also chemical. So there are different ways of depositing those layers. And we have also the tools that are optical in this case, but also can be based on electrons. So we have microscopes that are able to, where you can actually see with your eyes the thickness or certain properties. Those layers that we deposited directly, because otherwise, indeed, so you cannot see it with your bare eyes.
Okay. Have you you can admit it or don't admit it? Have you already lost something at a nano size where you just thought, oh, it's gone?
Hopefully not in my lungs. Yes, I mean, it happens also for things that are much bigger. So, I mean, in the clean room where we work, we deposit those layers, for instance, so it can happen that we have tools where you have vacuum. And, you know, sometimes you, I mean, there's a kind of, when you have vacuum and you have then ambient pressure, it can be that you have a blow or some flow of air that you know brings your sample somewhere you don't know, and then you lose your sample. So I mean, it can happen also with things that are much, much bigger. So yes, the answer is yes, of course.
Ein kleiner Lasch-Sach, die ich mich nur persönlich gefragt habe, ist, wie kann denn euch ein Strupp Physiker zu gehen? Wo ist du der Moment, wo ihr seht, oh, ja, lohnlos ob Physik? Ich meine, kann das jeder rein wie ein Apfel auf den Kopf fallen. Dafür als letzte Frage, Emanuel, wie hast du dich eigentlich für die Physik begeistert kriegt?
Well, I think there's probably a taste for it. So, and I've never experienced this. I have to admit, I have other monsters that I had to fight against. So for me, a drawing was this one, or poetry. So I wasn't really bad at this. But physics, yeah, I have a taste for it, and I think that it's. I mean, if I look around, so my colleagues, so we all have this taste. So meaning that you like it. I mean, you feel excitement. You want to explain the things that you can see. I mean, a rainbow, a ball that is just bouncing on the floor, or these kind of things. If you don't feel excitement about this, well. I can also understand that you feel a bit weird and that it can be that someone could feel that it's not normal people who would feel happy with that. But yes, there's something in the beginning. There's a kind of a nucleus somewhere that gives you this will or this appetite for physics, for understanding what you see in nature. So I think this is probably the initial part of it.
Do you think it's because the physics are like enigmas that you have to find a solution for it? Because it's very logical, in fact. If you found a solution, you see, it made sense. While poetry and drawing is more like abstract.
I don't know. I mean, I think everything is related to beauty to some extent. So be it a nice painting or art or just physics or math. So math is probably closer to poetry than physics. I think that, I mean, if I have to distinguish with math, because you could see also the same, you mentioned logic, so it's, I mean, math is also 1 + 1 = 2, and then you can build on it and then find just, I mean, constructions of the brains that are making you understand a specific problem. Physics, so the supplementary thing, I would consider this is supplementary or complementary to just pure abstraction, is that there is a real, something that you can touch, something you can see, something you can experience, and you can explain phenomena that are everyday phenomena that, I mean, you wouldn't understand with some equations or some reasoning. And yeah, I think, I mean, to some extent, it's also could be the same with chemistry or with biology. That's to me the initial part really comes from a specific taste that I would have hard time in knowing why I have this taste, specific taste for it. But this is it, right?
Das war es von Mein Element. Merci also mein Witte. Und wenn dir kein Episode mehr von diesem Podcast will verpassen, dann abonniert ihn einfach. Und wenn ihr schon dabei seid, teilt ihn noch gerne mit Familie und Freunden. Wir hören also bald die nächste Kehren. Bis dann. Ciao.